Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of the king is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Well, look here now, the word of the king. This is a prophecy update. Prophecy update concerning the mark of the beast. We're going to start off here by reading through Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, upon his horns, 10 crowns upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, I'll just interject here real quick. When the Word of God in verse 2 of Revelation 13 speaks of the dragon, that is a reference to none other than Satan himself. What is written right over in Revelation chapter 12, the great dragon is cast out, that old serpent called the devil, the seat. The seat of the whole world is cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 3 of Revelation 13, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 4, they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worshipped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? Verse 5, and there was a given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, blasphemed his name and his tabernacle, and then the well in heaven. I'm going to once again interject here. First John 5 tells there are three that bear record in heaven. Father, the Lord, Holy Ghost, and these three or one. So, this beast opens his mouth and blasphemes against God, and blasphemes his name in his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7 of Revelation 13. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Power was given him over all kingdoms and tongues and nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. His names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Verse 12, and he exercised with all the power of the first beast before him, held up the earth, and them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, his deadly wound was healed. And from verse 13 down through 18, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, in bond, receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, say he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him not understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, just recently, I was fellowshipping with a dear brother in the Lord named Bob, and the topic of the mark of the beast came up, and here Bob informed me that the mark of the beast had already been, as it were, perfected during the Ronald Reagan administration, albeit really part of the Ronald Reagan administration, back there in the early 80s. And he informed me that he had gotten some information from a man by the name of Carl Sanders, who actually helped develop this piece of technology that is ultimately going to be what scriptures refer to as the mark of the beast, or at least it's intended by those who created it to serve that purpose. What the scripture says will be the mark of the beast, without which no man will be able to buy or sell. So, here right now, I'm looking at a picture of this man, Carl, and his wife, Ruby. And underneath, it says, Brother Carl Sanders is an electronic engineer, inventor, and author. Also, he has been a consultant to various government organizations. He helped develop a microchip that is smaller than a grain of rice, and he believes it is to be used for electronic surveillance. It could be placed beneath the skin for positive identification. God has called he and his wife Ruby to sound a warning to all who will hear, especially to the house of Israel, Ezekiel 3. You need to hear and know what the New World Order has planned for you. And here now, I'm looking at this, and it has on the front government files the microchip injection test. Get it now. Are you and I next? And I read. First of all, there's a quote from George Bush. Albeit, I believe, George Bush Sr. And this quote goes, when we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance, this New World Order. Again, a quote by George Bush. And I read, the next time supermarket reads your groceries, think how efficient it would be to put your checkbook away, simply pass your hand over a reader to debit your bank account automatically. Devices for tracking and scanning have rapidly progressed. Again, devices for tracking and scanning have rapidly progressed. Most people know the ubiquitous code, be it barcode, that identifies goods in the supermarket and tracks packages and letters at the post office. But the barcode does have limitations. While it effectively labels raisin bran boxes, it falls short of the mark for scientists who want to tag salmon in the Pacific. There is another technology for identification and tracking and is increasing in popularity. And unlike barcode, it can get under the skin of just about anything. It is known as the injectable microchip, and this is a story of the not-too-distant future. The future in which microchips injected underneath the skin will track people's whereabouts or link personal data to a computer database. For those familiar with this technology, it generates an eclectic array of reactions as it seeps into our society. Some futurists and conspiracy theorists, it is Big Brother that controls again. For Christians, it is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. For some scientists, it is a paradigm of efficiency capable of solving social ills. But aside from personal philosophies, the fact is that microchips are used in amazing capacities. While we may choose to ignore those who whisper that Big Brother is coming, this technology really is becoming more like Lost in Space than computer science. Bottom line is that we should know how the injectable chip is used now, how it is planned to be used in the future, in case it really does become prevalent or mandatory in our lifetimes. The size of an uncooked grain of rice, silicon computer chip, the minuscule silver of a technology that has the capacity for a world of changes. Possible exploitation. When inserted underneath the skin, this chip can link an individual to a computer database, or it can track a person's location via satellite. In addition, research is being conducted to enable the chip to decipher a person's physiological data through the computer. In the future, authorities may be able to determine from watching their computer screen if a pedophile across town is being aroused by the sight of children. Sound impossible? Horrible. Microchip implantations are in use as you read this. And if I would just pause here for a moment, if I could, and just say that there's a photo, one or two photos here on this page, and below the one photo, this microchip, small enough to fit on a human fingertip, is the unique ID number assigned to the injectable transponder. Going on here with the article. The microchip itself was invented in 1958 for use in computers, and it evolved into a subcutaneous monitor for animals about 10 years ago. They injected a microchip into animals is already routine. It is used in wildlife, livestock, and exotic zoo animals. It tracks the health history, cattle and swine, identifies racehorses in Europe, and enables the U.S. Marine Fisheries Service to monitor the migratory patterns of salmon in Washington State, a program known as Fish and Chips. It is used in domestic pets as well. There are a growing number of people who want transponder chip in their dog or cat. Microchip pet identification, technically known as radio frequency identification, RFID, is available to pet owners nationwide. If I would interject here just for the moment, there is good reason to believe that some secret aspects there are of Obamacare, as we know it here in the United States of America, there is actually some permission, I'll say, for use of an RFID hidden in the Obamacare legislation, as it has been put into effect during this current president's administration. Again, microchip pet identification, technically known as radio frequency identification, RFID, is available to pet owners nationwide. Tim Burley of Advanced Veterinarian Systems in Wisconsin, a microchip distributor, comments, from what I know, we have every state covered as well as Canada, the Dominican Republic, and Europe. They're not in Alaska yet, but we're working on that. They're even in Hawaii. Fact, Destrum, IDI, and Boulder, Colorado. Most of its transponder has been injected into more than 2 million animals worldwide. And here, it says, concerning an injectable transponder. An injectable transponder consists of a microchip, a wire coil around an iron core, and a capacitor for tubing. The concept seems simple. A microchip is encased in biomedical grade glass and imprinted with a unique, unalterable alphanumeric code. With 34 billion individual code numbers are available. The chip is then injected into the pet between its shoulder blades by a veterinarian, and the needle is discarded. Cost for registration. We need free data, based updates, and injection by a veterinarian. She ranges from $20 to $35. Once implanted, the microchip is virtually impossible to remove. According to American Veterinary Identification Devices, AVID, a microchip developed, even surgical removal using advanced radiograph techniques is extremely difficult. This is because fibrous tissue adheres to grooves in the glass surrounding the chip to prevent migration of the chip to the pet's tissue. Since the chip operates with low-frequency radio waves and does not contain a battery, it remains passive, no parts to wear out. The device remains with the animal for life, where it provides the animal's unique identification number when scanned by a compatible reader. This number reveals the pet owner's name, address, phone number, and any other relevant information. Such database systems are currently available from 4 U.S. companies. Identical in Pennsylvania, California-based AVID, Destrin IDI in Colorado, and InfoPet Identification Systems in Minnesota. Now, if I could interject here for a moment just to say that these database systems are, I'm sure, much more widespread now in terms of their availability, because this article that I'm reading from was from the fall of 1993. So again, I'm sure it's much more than that today. However, according to this article back in the fall of 1993, only 3 manufacturers supplied the microchips. The problem of incompatibility arises between the various chips, scanners. Companies have produced a scanner that can read any company's microchip. When this happens, microchip identification of animals is expected to soar. As this article is being written, the Destrin microchip was accepted in Europe as a standard chip in the industry. Popular in Europe. Again, popular in Europe. Two prominent customers using microchip injections are the Spanish Cavalry and the Royal Cavalry in England. Some industry people are predicting that the chip will soon be mandatory for pets in Europe as an efficient replacement for conventional licensing methods. If sooner standardization occurs in the U.S., scanners will be able to decipher all chips in the pet industry, and the incompatibility problem will be resolved. But what about using microchips to track locations? And whereabouts of a microchip dog or cat be tracked on a computer screen? It is a popular question for Kevin Newisma of Destrin IDI, and he laughs. Maybe 50 years. Nevertheless, the tracking of microchips does occur. Hughes Missile Systems Company uses microchips to track aircraft and vehicles to receive guidance and instructions to track enemy aircraft. According to spokesman Robert Busrow, Hughes uses the Global Positioning System, a system now used by many airlines to track aircraft with satellites to track vehicles uses a combat-proven military system that has a huge position location reporting system. Parent company of Hughes Missile System, Hughes Aircraft, the General Motors subsidiary in Orange County, California, that has a joint agreement with Destron to provide chips for pet use. Hughes also has other plans for microchip scanning and tracking. Some believe that these plans are ultimately detrimental to society. Lindsey Williams is one such person. Williams and William Baptist Minister and the author of five books. He's been a public speaker for 30 years. Williams had executive status for 3 years with nine major oil companies, started the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline after volunteering as a chaplain in the early 70s. As a result, he became privy to firsthand information that led to a 15-year quest for facts regarding government and corporate disinformation. Williams recently spoke Air Expo 93 in Las Vegas, Nevada. And in a speech titled Government Electronic Control by 1995, Williams analyzed the fiber optic system being installed in California by Hughes Aircraft. Williams said by the year 1995 in the state of California, there will be a fiber optic system in place with all the equipment, computers, satellites, and everything necessary to track every automobile on every mile of road in the state of California. The system Williams refers to as the Advanced Traffic Management System, being produced by Hughes Aircraft Company. Williams fears it means the loss of freedom for Americans. It's going to mean that we have lost all those rights we were guaranteed in certain sections of the Constitution. If we allow it to happen, we have become slaves on the highways of the state of California by 1895, and in the entire United States of America by 1997. Williams claims it became next year, without most people knowing it, the cars will be manufactured with transponders in them. And by 1995, cameras over the roads, by 1995, cameras over the roads would be designed to record the tag number of every automobile by reading its transponder. As soon as you get on the highway, they will know exactly who that car owner is and where it's going because they can track it hour by hour. There will be a network of those things across the entire state of California so that they can track the auto's travel from spot to spot from the time it drives out of your driveway until it gets to its destination. This is back in the mid-90s, folks. Going off, while Hughes claims this electronic system is designed to automatically issue speeding tickets, debit tolls through the computer, Williams says that it is really for the purpose of tracking every car and every car owner. They will even be able to know what grocery store you frequent, said Williams, in reference to the Hughes ATMS manual that is peppered with buzzwords such as vehicle tracking and vehicle control system. Williams asked, control of what? Don't we have a right to travel on highways we pay for? Well, what about tracking people? While the global positioning system can't track aircraft, there is a system of satellites in orbit right now that can track microchips injected into humans. Carl Sanders, an engineer for 32 years, and the designer of the Intelligence Man Interface biochip for use in humans, told the Monetary and Economic Review that there are new satellites going up, such as the 66 satellites that Motorola is putting up in conjunction with the Russians. These are low-orbit satellites. He explained that certain microchips can be picked up by a satellite. We used this with military personnel in the Iraq War, where they were actually tracked using this particular type of device. The concept of tracking children with microchips seems to interest many. The Associated Press reports that Mr. Daniel Mann, a plastic surgeon in Miami, Florida, holds a pin for an implantable chip that could locate lost children or find Alzheimer's victims who wander away. Mann says that private industry and government agencies have expressed interest in producing. mention it. He describes his prototype as a homing device that, when planted behind a child's ear, could lead any parents to miss the offspring. He explains that he started working on the idea 10 years ago, but technological advancements make the idea feasible today. The device would emit a signal that could be monitored through a cellular system, possibly by satellites. Along with the positive feedback man has received, he also encounters parents who would not want such a device in their children. When you have a good idea, quote unquote, this is Sanders now saying this, when you have a good idea, you always have some people who say there could be something bad about it. I think that the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. Actually, that was a quote there by Daniel Mann. That was actually a quote by Daniel Mann. Jack Dunlap, a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, is working on a similar project. He has developed a concept for a lost child locator system called KidScan. He told the Arizona Republic its purpose is to locate children who have been picked up, transported, molested, abused, raped, and murdered. It incorporates an implanted chip that transmits a signal, bounces off a satellite to a computer screen map at police headquarters. The parent of the missing child call the police, give the kid scan social security number, and have the child traced. Microchips can also be used in prison systems as an alternative to the electronic ankle bracelets used to monitor parolees. It is hoped that the end of the 1990s will bring an improved system for parolee and probation or supervision at a reduced cost, along with ankle bracelets sometimes used to monitor and release prisoners, and the idea that a microchip implant could work just as accurately, if not better, since it is tamper-proof and allows prisoners to roam free while being monitored via satellites and computers. Microchips injected underneath the skin could track prisoners' whereabouts, reveal personal data, and it is hoped to decipher emotional responses in coordination with the release of drugs. Let's try to move on down here a little bit. Through this here. Let's go ahead and read this part of it. The government document secured by UIEI exemplifies how exploitation looms when technology and politics mix. It seems that Colorado was interested in microchip monitoring and other cutting-edge technologies in order to emerge as one of the most progressive states in the nation. 180-page Vision 2020, Colorado Courts of the Future, addresses how microchip technology could give the state government a competitive edge. Finalized on March 20, 1992 by the Colorado State Judicial System, with funds granted from the State Justice Institute and backed by the Colorado General Assembly, Vision 2020 project was undertaken with a task force of over 80 Colorado citizens, ranging from attorneys to librarians. In this document, the Colorado Court is urged to implement electronic monitoring devices. The document states that biological and chemical technologies will explode in the next 20 years, next 30 years, as rapidly as electronic technologies. We will be able to use genetic engineering, chemicals, and chip implants to change human behavior. This will raise several questions regarding the extent to which the state can reprogram individuals because of their societally unacceptable behavior. These advances in technology will occur. Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment. Listen to that again. We will be able to use genetic engineering, chemicals, and chip implants to change human behavior. Now, on that note, I want to pause here for a moment. And I want to read here from Revelation chapter 14. When you stop to think about that, indeed the mark of the beast, safe to say, will be a form of mind control that's the whole reason why, as souls receive the mark of the beast, lest they be not able to buy or sell, that the dragon, Satan, the mark of the beast, will be able to control, manipulate them, all the more in worshiping him. And it is written, Revelation 14, starting in verse 9, down through verse 11. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, Amen, worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, to worship the beast in his image. Whosoever receiveth the mark his name. Continuing on here with this article. Members of the task force compiled a document citing alternatives to incarceration and the future of the prisoners as the two most pressing problems facing the courts, including that new treatment methods and sentencing alternatives should be utilized. These new treatment methods are of interest to prison systems because the cost of incarcerating criminals in America has escalated to dizzying figures. For maximum security incarceration of one inmate, approximately $25,000 is needed per year, with an initial cost of $100,000 to construct a one inmate cell. Such costs encourage courts to shorten prison sentences by simply shortening terms, utilizing an electronic ankle bracelet, or using microchip implants in the future. Essentially, with these monitoring devices, an individual's home becomes the prison. Is the microchip actually ready to be injected into large numbers of people? Tim Weller, former managing editor of The Futurist, told the Moore Independent Journal in Nevada, California, that the technology behind today's microchip implant is fairly uncomplicated, with a little more polish, can be used in a variety of human applications. Some experts say that it is not yet small enough to comfortably be implanted into the thin human epidermis. However, the technology of the microchip is advanced at an amazing speed. Because computer memory quadruples every 3 years, the microchip will eventually be able to hold the same amount of information on an even smaller surface. Sources say Japanese have invented a micro dot. It's perfect for human applications. It is a computer chip about the size of a pinhead, which can be ejected painlessly and invisibly. Symbotech in Austin, Texas, developed a computer chip this year that is only 0.35 microns wide, roughly 1/200 the size of human hair. Symbotech is the maker of components for the advanced weapons systems used in the Gulf War and will supply American companies with the tools necessary to manufacture these chips. The smaller size will bring manufacturing costs down while making possible commercial production. 64 megabit memory, 256 megabit memory chips, far more powerful than are available today. The company plans to produce even smaller chips in the future. Prisons suddenly empty. No longer needing to rely on tax dollars to operate. Convicts returning to society to function. Productive workers. Average citizens becoming more secure and less taxed. Children tracked as they skip home from school. Lost pets being scanned to reunite them with their owners. Why not use microchip injection? While some, such as Max Winkler, allude to the danger of exploitation and the possibility of the ultimate totalitarian society, it is important to analyze these fears. While the microchip itself is an amazing advancement, and perhaps offers no adverse effects when implanted in animals. The exploitative possibilities for humans can remain at the forefront of our assessments. Conceivably, says Tim Waller, a number could be assigned at birth to govern a person throughout life. He explains that a microchip would most likely be implanted on the back of the right or left hand for convenience, so that it would be easy to scan. He says it could be used as a universal identification card that would replace credit cards, passports, that sort of thing. It could be programmed to replace the medical alert bracelet. For example, at the scene of an accident, a medical alert, a medic could scan the person, find out is there a recent medical history, allergies, or a relative to get in touch with. This would be especially valuable if the person was unconscious. The microchip could also replace the need for house and car keys. He added this would have the potential for a range of functions that will boggle our minds, but it will carry with it danger of abuse, particularly the loss of personal privacy. He explains that the human microchip ID system would work best with a highly centralized computer system where identification number would gain access to medical and academic records, home security, all kinds of things. Carl Sanders is especially concerned about the Big Brother implications of the microchip. Sanders is an electronics engineer, inventor, author, and consultant to various government organizations, as well as IBM, General Electronic, Honeywell, and Teledyne. He also has an extensive background in designing surveillance equipment for the CIA, FBI, and the Customs Department in Atlanta, Georgia. Although he worked on designing the microchip years ago, he is now concerned that it will be misused. On tape he produced to explain his views on the microchip, Sanders says, the microchip will carry with it danger of abuse, particularly in the loss of personal privacy. The chip Sanders worked on was only used in medical applications at first. Sanders explains that the chip began to evolve. There came a time in the project when the team of people out of Motorola to General Electric and the Boston Medical Center said that the financial return on bypassing severed spines was not extremely lucrative. We noticed that the frequency of the chip had a great effect upon behavior, so we began to branch off and look possibly at behavior modification. The project almost turned to electronic acupuncture, because what they ended up with was embedding a microchip to put out a signal which affected certain areas. They were able to determine that you could cause a behavioral change. These are the microchips can be used for migraine, headaches, behavior modification, uppers or downers, and sexual stimulants or depressants. But again, dear listener, if you ever wondered how the dragon, Satan, would be able to get the whole world to worship one man, the Bible calls him the son of perdition, the beast, Revelation 13, again, he's turning this microchip. They were able to determine to cause a behavioral change, like worshiping someone the Bible calls the beast. Sanders feels that this chip man has to be used for lifelong identification, possibly against people's will. This can be done through the Immigration Control Act of 1986. Section 100 gives President, then, at this time, this article was done, it was Clinton, the authority to implement whatever type. Identification is necessary to control the population. Sanders fears that a smart card, invisible tattoo, or electronic microchip under the skin may be used to enforce immigration laws. Currently, there are several measures pending before Congress calling for a Social Security card for immigrant identification with a photo, fingerprint digitization, or barcode. When human microchip technology as a whole, it is interesting to note the profluence of acronyms, associated with, such as Abbott, ABID, and Chitscan. It is reminiscent of what George Orwell, in his book 1984, referred to as Newspeak, modified terms canceling their true meaning. The name Chitscan seems especially misleading since it's psychologically conscious of the positive idea of kids can, while fogging the realistic image of a toddler being injected with a foreign implant. Besides, it is difficult to ignore the Big Brother implications of this technology. It is difficult to bypass Christian ministries as a resource. Many of them are information storehouses regarding microchip technology. And in conclusion, I would refer you, Brother John Turnham's blog, John McTurnan's Insights, johnmcturnan.mini, John, J-O-H-N, McTurnan, MCTERNAN.me. You can also Google Defend and Proclaim the Faith. It's also another way that you can get in touch with Brother John's blog, Brother John McTurnan's blog. And there's much information on there that you can glean concerning transhumanism at the 666 Mail blog. Brother John, his Insights blog has a number of links. There's the 666 Surveillance blog link. There's the Image of the Beast blog link. I would encourage you to check those out, dear listener. And you'll see. You'll see through the transhumanism and the other technologies how it has been progressing. Because again, this article that I've been reading from here was from back in 1993. This is now 2016. Go to Brother John McTurnan's blog. Check out the 666 Surveillance blog. Check out the Image of the Beast blog. Read about all the transhumanism. Read about all the technology there. Where they have come and what they're yet discussing for the future. To see just how close we are to the end. Just how close we are. Lord Jesus Christ coming back for his church and ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. From Zion, city of the great king. So, is your heart right with God, dear listener? For those of you who are saved, may we be zealous of good works. May we do those works that bring honor and glory to our Father in heaven. Very much fruit by the true vine, Lord Jesus Christ. While it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. For you who are not saved, knowest not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. The Word of God says, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For it is written, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the eternal life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. 1 Timothy 2:5 declares that there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Look to Jesus, listen. Look to none other. another, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Repent ye and believe in God, for that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Then he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Acknowledge the fact that he died for your sin. He was buried for you. He rose from the dead for you, dear listener. Needs to be personal. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus said in St. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, here's my word, and believe upon him that sent me after everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. Come unto Jesus. Whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come unto Jesus. Be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Even as the Holy Spirit of God will take up residence in your mortal body. In your walk, your relationship with the living God will begin, and it will have just begun. Jesus said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come now, come today, dear listener. Be born again, Spirit of God, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious period of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.